This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
We are reading from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 17, verses 6 through 19. I have manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. And this is the gospel of our Lord, and you may be seated. Now, this passage is what's called Jesus' high priestly prayer. And a lot of people believe that it's either confusing to read or boring. But I want us all to take note of St. John 17 in Jesus' prayer. Take a moment to find it in your own Bible if you haven't already turned there. Take note, the chapter follows Jesus' discourse or lecture or pep talk, if you will, to his disciples. But the Apostle John doesn't give us any transition. He doesn't tell us if Jesus is saying something like, well, I'm going to go pray now. You guys wait here. Jesus just spontaneously launches into that prayer. So this teaches us that it's not only permissible, but possibly even advisable to take every opportunity we have throughout the day to talk to the Father in heaven. There's another striking detail about this chapter. Look at the content. Jesus spends only 4.5 verses on himself and his mission. The remaining 21 verses are his prayer for others, his disciples, and then all of the believers after them who will believe because of the work of the disciples. In other words, if we are to model our prayer lives after the prayer life of Jesus, then our prayers should be sort of like that, which means we spend most of our prayer time praying for others and not praying, Lord, 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 gimme, 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 me, me, me. We pray for other people. Now, don't get me wrong. It's obviously okay to pray for ourselves and for our concerns. But let's be honest, on the inside, do most of our prayers look like this kudzu comic strip? This is the Reverend will be done. Will be done here. At your service, Lord, I want you to listen up and listen good. I want bounteous donations to the church building fund, and I want them now. This is will be done talking, and when will be done says jump, I want you to say how high. Well, how does God react to that? So he concludes, never practice your newly found assertiveness training on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Next one. Lord, I beseech thee, how long, O Lord, how long? How now, Lord, the time is now. Then he gets a ring on his phone. Pardon me, Lord. Hello? Of course, we get the same reaction from God here. And he says, never put the Lord on hold. But see, here's two instances of prayer and how we should not pray. One is telling God, hey, Lord, it's me, and I want answers now. And then the second one, he's bemoaning how long and how long, oh, Lord, how long. But then he gets a call, and he says, oh, Lord, wait a minute. And what this means is we're putting demands on God, but when one of something that we're interested in comes up, we put God on hold. This is not an accusation of anyone here. It's a matter for reflection, because all of us in our humanity are tempted to have that kind of relationship with God. We get angry and we tell God, hey, you need to listen to me. Or we're just saying, Lord, 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 help. Oh, wait a minute. God needs to come first, period. And so our prayers need to be adjusted somewhat if we are ever tempted to fall into the pattern where we make demands on God, or we speak angrily to him like he's doing us evil or treating us badly because we don't like what's happening around us. So the good reverend in our cartoons is not the model for our prayer lives, to say the least. Our model, however, is Jesus' high priestly prayer. And now let's take a look at the prayer. First, verse 16, I have manifested your name to the men you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Jesus taught his disciples God's word. But more than that, he lived God's word in front of them. So he can pray with confidence that he's done what he was supposed to do and say that his disciples are doing the same. Those 11 remaining saw his living example, and they noted that it was worth doing themselves. So they showed evidence of God's word living inside of them. The most glorious thing is when we can see that someone has caught the faith from us and that they're showing fruit in their lives because they saw the fruit in us. Next, verse 7. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Those men saw that Jesus was who he said he was. He was authentic. What he gave to them was the words from the Father. He didn't give them opinions. He gave them God's word. So his life and his words were evidence of the reality of the Heavenly Father. And so our lives should be evidence of the reality of God, because people see it in us. He says, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And then he says, all are mine, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. This is interesting. Jesus prays that his disciples will be able to press on. He's focusing on the disciples' mission, their future, their lives, and their witness. In other words, his prayer is laser focused on his mission and purpose as it will be lived out by his disciples. Verse 11, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. This is his prayer for unity among the followers of Christ. It's pretty straightforward and doesn't really require a whole lot of explanation. And while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus took care of his disciples. And this is an important detail for any of us who would be discipling someone. We take care of them. We mentor them. We teach them. We stand in the gap for them. We become a watchman for them. And we pray for the Lord's hedge of protection to be with them. So we're sort of like, if we win somebody to Christ, we become, as it were, their spiritual father or mother, depending. And we're supposed to take care of them because a parent takes care of their children, do they not? And so if we win somebody to Christ, we're their spiritual father. So we take care of them like a father takes care of their kids. Next, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. This last line is key, and we need to pay attention to this. Jesus did not ask the Father to take his disciples out of the world. Think of it. Our mission as his disciples is to live faithfully down here and to stop asking God to get us out of here. That would be like a general removing his army from the field before the battle begins. That's not how this works. We are his disciples, and we need to trust God that while we are here, as long as we are here, to be faithful to him and his mission and his work and his calling, and to do his work, and to stop saying, Lord, get me out of here. That's not what our life as a disciple of Jesus is supposed to be about. Not running away, but standing there and serving faithfully. Next, and this is the last part, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Lord, your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. We all know that this world is not our ultimate home. Our ultimate residence is in heaven. So we're not to be worldly, nor are we to align ourselves with the world and the world's ideas, beliefs, methods, and values. We're citizens of heaven, if you will, living in a foreign country. That doesn't mean we're to be so heavenly minded, fake spirituality, by the way, that we're no earthly good. We just live as Jesus' disciples in this hostile country. Because the world loves its own. The world does not love disciples of Jesus. So we have to get used to the idea that we're living in a foreign land and we live for our king and our kingdom. And while we're actually like the Lord's fifth columnists, if you will, in this world, witnessing for Jesus and living a faithful life for the world to see. But let's remember what we've heard this morning and have peace, because Jesus will fulfill everything in this prayer for those who follow him. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.